Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal. Dr. Teal, the topic I would like to discuss today is the Holy Spirit. Specifically, is it male or female?
Well, actually, neither. But let's go to the Bible to find out what the Bible actually teaches. First, let's start off the second chapter of the book of Acts. It talks about when the day of Pentecost fully came, disciples were all in one place, there came a sound from heaven, and it filled the whole house they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this was the beginning, formal beginning, if you will, of the New Testament church. And we see that God's Holy Spirit was given, and it was associated with something that looked like fire. Now, many languages, including Koine Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, use what's called grammatical gender. And the Koine Greek term, by the way, for fire, in English would be pronounced pur, and that is grammatically neuter.
Could you please explain more fully what you mean by grammatically neuter?
It means it's not masculine nor feminine. Now, while most translations of the New Testament English language use the pronoun he related to the Holy Spirit, as well as the relative pronoun who, neither of those pronouns is actually supported by the Greek text. Now, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. It's a neuter gender. It's not masculine, nor should it be considered so.
Well, what about the Old Testament word for spirit? Is that masculine?
No, actually, in the Hebrew scriptures, the term for spirit used is one of two words, ruach or ruah, and they are feminine. Yet despite this grammatical fact, some will look at mistranslations or some will point to commentaries. For example, here's an error from Matthew Henry's commentary in the whole Bible related to Genesis chapter 1, the first two verses. It says, the plurality of persons in the Godhead, and the plural name in Hebrew speaks of him. The Spirit of God was the first mover. He moved upon the face of the waters. Well, you see, he, in this biased commentary, but no way supports the concept that the Holy Spirit is a male person. Because the term for spirit would be she. So calling she, he doesn't change the grammatical facts.
Well, if we don't use the word he when referring to the Holy Spirit, what word would we use that would be more grammatically correct?
It. Now, through the New Testament, translators often use he associated with the term spirit. But occasionally, even the Old King James got it correct and used the term it. For example, Romans 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. We don't know how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Mm-hmm. And it is the appropriate pronoun. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, and this was the belief of early Christians. It took the Council of Constantinople under the imperial order from Emperor Theodosius to make certain unscriptural declarations related to the Holy Spirit that many accept today.
Would one of those unscriptural declarations be related to the understanding of the Trinity?
Absolutely, Kirk, yes. And I'd like to read something from Sean Finnegan. He had a paper titled, The Holy Spirit and Translation Bias, A Smoking Gun of Trinity Mischief. So here's what he wrote. Although most Bibles stay relatively true to the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek in most places, nearly all of them have significant blind spots that subtly lean towards Trinitarian theology. I want to expose one of these having to do with the Holy Spirit. 17 out of 19 translations he checked use the term who or whom, referring to the Holy Spirit, when, by the way, the Greek doesn't go for that. Since this is this misleads honest-hearted men and women who simply want to understand what the scriptures say. Now, he says, for example, the NASB team claim to, quote, adhere to the literal philosophy of translation and required a word-for-word translation that's accurate and precise. Yet they didn't properly translate the word O, which means which. And the NET boasts of having nearly 61,000 translator notes to look over the shoulders to make sure there's no bias. But he said that, no, they got it wrong as well. He says, ironically, Daniel Wallace, one of the primary scholars involved in the NET translation, exposes this very issue. Furthermore, he says, the NIV committee stated they were committed to the authority and infallibility of God's word in a written form. Yet, according to infallible scriptures, their translation reads whom instead of which. Now, this is a mistranslation. If the scripture is infallible, why is the NIV correcting it? Mm-hmm. And why do the other translations do it? Yet in various verses, they don't do it correctly. Why do all these translations think the simple word O, which is which, is really own, which means whom?
That's amazing. This is truly a cover-up of biblical proportions. Is there any rebuttal against the charge of altering Holy Scriptures by the translators?
Yeah, actually, somebody told me that Dr. Daniel Wallace did try to get the neuter gender used for the Holy Spirit when he was involved in the NET translation project, but he was overridden. And this is even more appalling when you realize that Dr. Wallace was actually the senior New Testament editor of the NET Bible. Now, Dr. Wallace himself wrote, about a dozen texts in the New Testament are used to support the Spirit's personality on the grounds of gender shift. That is to say, these passages seem to refer to the Spirit in a masculine gender, in spite of the fact that the word pneuma is neuter, and a grammatical concord would require any reference to be in a neuter gender. Yet many theologians treat these passages as primary proof of the Spirit's personality. It says, John 16:7 can be dismissed. Whatever the reason for the masculine participle in verse 7, it's evident the grammatization of the Spirit's personality is not only nor even the most plausible explanation. Since this text involves serious exegetical problems, it cannot be marshaled out as unambiguous proof of the Spirit's personality. In sum, none of the gender shift passages clearly help establish the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now, before going further, I looked at two translations of John 16:7 who don't make this error. So this will be from the CEV. But I tell you, I'm going to do what's best for you. That's why I'm going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to you until I leave. But after I'm gone, I will send the Spirit to you. And the AFV also says basically the same thing. Now back to Dr. Wallace. He also wrote, there is no text in the New Testament that clearly or even probably affirms the personality of the Holy Spirit through the route of Greek grammar. Evangelical defenses of various doctrines occasionally are poorly founded. We sometimes claim things to be true because we want them to be true without doing the exhaustive spade work needed to support the conclusions. In sum, I've sought to demonstrate in this paper that the grammatical basis for the Holy Spirit personality is lacking in the New Testament, yet is frequently, if not usually, the first line of defense of that doctrine from many evangelical writers. Yeah. But if grammar cannot be legitimately used to support the Spirit's personality, then perhaps we need to re-examine the rest of our basis for this theological commitment. Now, this was published back in 2003 in the Bulletin of Biblical Research, and it used to be online. But I found out this week they yanked that. You can't even find that online anymore. Now, Wallace wrote another paper. And he says that although this idea, John 15:26 is masculine, it's not. It's got nothing to do with the natural gender ending of the word pneuma, which is neuter. But he says the other view is especially popular among theologians, not infrequently becoming their mainstay for their argument of the personality of the Holy Spirit, end quote.
Are there no theologians that understand the truth of the misinterpretations of the gender of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yeah, there's many. But many also rely on false information to promote the Trinitarian personhood of the Holy Spirit. Now, that being said, there's an Eastern Orthodox priest and scholar that I know by the name of Dr. Lauren Cleanerwork, and he wrote, quote, "Greek manuscripts do not have any capitalization. Hence, the introduction of capitalized forms is arbitrary." And so people think, oh, the Holy Spirit is translated. That means it's divine. No, they just capitalized it. So that doesn't make it a person. But he also wrote, the first thing to notice is both pneuma, which is from the New Testament, and ruah from the Old Testament, convey the meaning of breath or wind. That explains the subtle nuances in various biblical passages. On this basis, you can say pneuma and ruah are used as a reference to an unseen causal agent whose effects are visible. The Greek pneuma is neuter, which is why it's never spoken of with personal pronouns. An unbiased translation requires the use of the conjunction that or which instead of who or whom. Yet, Dr. Cleanerwork, who was the editor of the Eastern Orthodox Bible, his Bible translates who or whom instead of which, like it's supposed to. And they also use he and him, like you're not supposed to. And so that's simply wrong. Now, some have also pointed to the use of the term comforter. Now, that is used in the book of John, and it does have a masculine gender. But this particular noun is used to describe a vital function of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a neuter term. So while comforter is masculine grammatically, it's not proof the Holy Spirit is a man or a person.
Well, why not?
The grammatical reality is that the Greek pronoun pneuma, in all its various forms, is always and only neuter in gender. Likewise, all the pronouns that refer to pneuma can only be neuter in gender. So if the Holy Spirit were a masculine person, the nouns and pronouns in the Greek text would have had to be written in a masculine gender, but as those that refer to the Father and to Jesus' Son. Yet Dr. Wallace and Dr. Cleanerwork and others concluded nowhere in the Greek text is Holy Spirit ever designated by a noun or pronoun in the masculine gender.
Does the Bible give us a word of warning about those that knowingly twist the Holy Scripture?
Yes. False tradition often is triumphing truth. You know, people should be able to read the Bible translations and trust it, but they can't because this isn't new. Jesus complained that people went for tradition over the word of God in his day. He said to people who thought they were God's people in Matthew chapter 15, starting verse 7, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Look, real Christians do not hypocritically worship God in vain. While Protestantism has tended to claim that it believes in sola scriptura, the Bible alone for doctrine, as opposed to accepting counsels of men that Roman and Orthodox churches do, most Protestants have accepted traditions of men over the Bible related to the Holy Spirit. Anyway, the grammatical gender of the Hebrew word for spirit is feminine, and the grammatical gender for the Greek word for spirit is neutral. The grammatically proper conclusion after reviewing the Hebrew and Greek scriptures is that the Holy Spirit is not a he. And if anyone wants to assign a gender to it, it, meaning the neuter gender, would make the most sense for Christians. Don't fall for false traditions that say the Holy Spirit is masculine based on scripturally improperly translated grammar, because that's false.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.